Now we're going to do some liturgical dance. Okay, Mary, just for, no, I'm just kidding. Let's pray together. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be here with you all, Calvary Episcopal Church. Thank you for welcoming me this day. Not as Allison's spouse, not as Olivia and Amelia's dad, but as Pastor Robert English. And I'm grateful to be here representing on behalf of the United Methodist Church and your neighbors down the street, Clifton United Methodist Church. This is a Sunday where we talk about Christian unity. It's a week of prayer for Christian unity, which is a worldwide effort, really embodied and kind of led by the World Council on Churches. And I've been thinking a lot about Christian unity because my denomination, the United Methodist Church, is presently a dumpster fire. It is a mess because as of January 1st, there are folks that have disaffiliated, which means that they left the United Methodist Church because they can't be in a church that fully welcomes and includes LGBTQ persons. They're self-professed traditionalists, that's what they call themselves. And as of January 1st, 8% of the United Methodists in Western Ohio left to be part of a new denomination or left to be an independent church. And that's the first wave. There's going to be some more waves. So if you are friends with United Methodists, check in on them. It would be good just to see how they're doing. Churches are split. Families are divided. Some churches are leaving. Some are trying to leave, but they can't quite get the number of votes that they need in order to leave. So there's a lot of brokenness in the United Methodist Church right now. So I've been thinking a lot about what it means to be united in Christ in this time of disaffiliation, in this time of a divorce in my denomination. And in my thinking and in my anxiety, there's been some, and in the uncertainty, I think of you all here at Calvary. And it gives me great hope. Because this church that we're part of, and I'm talking about like the Church of Jesus, like the mystical body of Christ that exists in the world, is far larger than any of the qualifiers we might put on our local churches, like First United Methodist Church of such and such, or Saint so-and-so Episcopal Church, or River of something Baptist Church. All of those qualifiers are ways in which we want to box in this body of Christ, this mystical union of Christ that exists in the world. So when I remember you all, my perspective grows and it gives me hope. It seems like foolishness, quite honestly. It seems like the foolishness that Paul talks about in his letter to the church in Corinth, that cross, which seems like foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the very power of God. So in this world of sectarian division, a world where we are told we are more divided than ever, I don't know if I actually believe that, but we're told that time and time again, that we are more divided than ever. That message of the cross, which is to say another way of saying the call of Christ, seems like foolishness, and yet to those of us who are being saved, it is the very power of God. You know, call is a funny thing. This call that we have from God, this call that we have from Christ, it's not just something that the ordained clergy, Reverend Olivia, myself, Allison, Rex, and others have experienced. We all experience the call, a call from the divine. We also experience that not just as individuals, but also as communities. Calvary Episcopal Church, you are called to a very specific calling that only you all can embody. In the gospel, we hear of a particular call story, the call story of some fishermen who were fishing and repairing nets on the seashore of Galilee. And I was thinking about that story, and I was thinking about how this church here, Calvary, literally was the voice of Christ calling Allison and me from the seashore of the Pacific Ocean back in 2017. See, in 2017, Allison had decided that she had heard God's voice calling her to move from an associate rector position to be a rector of a church. I was appointed at the time to First United Methodist Church of Santa Monica. So Allison said, I'm going to put my name in to be a rector. And she started to apply at churches in California. The Los Angeles area, she even went so far as Northern Orange County. That was about the geographic region that she was looking in. And then she happened upon a profile from Calvary Episcopal Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. You know what she did? She read it and she said, Robert's never going to want to go to Cincinnati. So she put it away. But then she went back and she read it again. And I think she even went back and read it a third time. And there was something about what the Spirit was doing in your prayerful discernment, articulating who you are as a community, who you long to be and who you are becoming. There was something about that Spirit's work that Allison said, I got to share this with Robert. So on a Friday afternoon, the girls were at childcare and at preschool. She said, I gotta share this profile with you. She said, Calvary Episcopal Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I said in my head, I don't want to go to Cincinnati, Ohio. But I'll humor her, right? I'll listen to her. She read the profile, and you know what happened? As soon as she read it, the first words out of my mouth were, this is a church that God wants you to be at. If you get it, we gotta go. That wasn't me speaking. That was the Holy Spirit speaking through me. I still get those Holy Spirit goose pimples when I tell this story. Because I had no idea, she had no idea, our children had no idea the implications of saying yes to that call. And even after she said yes and she put her name in, we still questioned whether or not this was of God, whether or not we were being faithful, or whether or not this was just some crazy adventure. And every single time, God kept coming back to us when we asked that question and said, yes, this is where I want you to be, God speaking to Allison. The call of Christ coming through you all called Allison and me from the shores of the Pacific Ocean all the way here to the banks of the Ohio River in Cincinnati, Ohio, to be with you all, to learn and to grow, to laugh and to cry, to share, to serve the poor and the vulnerable, and now in this moment to be a sister parish with your United Methodist siblings down the road, whether you like it or not. We're siblings in the faith. Call is a funny thing, and you might be asking yourself, well, I wonder what God is calling me to this year. I wonder what God is calling me to this new season. And I encourage you to think about, to pray about, to meditate on what God is calling you to in the coming days and months. But I'm also mindful of how you all are experiencing call as a Calvary Episcopal Church community. And I see you all, whether you're aware of it or not, or whether it's an intentional thing or not, I see you all practicing three practices of discernment as you're listening to the call of God for Calvary Church. Those three practices are these: telling the truth, loving all, and serving the poor. First, telling the truth. You all have been on a journey of truth-telling as you have confronted the reality of race and racism in your own history. You all have gone into your past and you have looked through your story, and you have tried to be honest and truthful as best you can be about the history of race and racism in Cincinnati and in this church. And I want to say that that is hard work, and it is difficult work, and it is absolutely necessary in taking those next steps forward to becoming the beloved community that God longs for. And I want to say thank you for modeling for me and for Clifton United Methodist Church with bravery and courage the power of telling the truth. Now, Jesus said something about the truth. He said, it will set you free. That's the promise that we have. If we try to tell the truth and to be honest, we have the promise from Christ that it will set us free. He never said being good will set you free. He said the truth will set you free. So thank you. Thank you for doing these things that are hard and to the world might look like foolishness. It might even look like foolishness to all those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the very power of God. The second practice that I see you all employing is loving all, having a commitment to love all people as beloved children of God. You have a statement of inclusion that I know, and I know you all know that statement of inclusion well. You all have lived it for many, many a season. And because you have lived it, and because you have professed it, because you have named it as a value that you hold to be true to the gospel, it has become part of who you are. It is in your very DNA. So I feel it every time I come. Every time I come here to Calvary Episcopal Church, the warmth, the hospitality, the welcome for all people as created in the image of God, as having the grace and the dignity, inherent worth that is given by God, our Creator, you live that. And there is work yet to be done. That's the thing about Jesus' invitation to costly grace, is that the more we live into this reality, the more it opens us up more and more to encounter new people with new stories, with new contexts, with new stories to be shared in beloved community. And we start to ask the question of, well, who's not here at this table yet? And what are ways that we can create space for a more diverse, more whole, beloved community that God longs for? So I believe that the challenge that you all have is the same challenge that we face down the street. To grow intentionally to be a more multicultural, multi-ethnic congregation, which reflects the beautiful diversity of this world. To grow more intentionally in our intersectional diversity so that we might recognize all the ways that we carry both privilege and power and also marginalization in this world, to be open about who we are and the ways in which our identities give us strength and encouragement and make us better as a whole. That's the challenge that we have as we put our statements of inclusion to the test. And we continue to grow in that costly grace that Jesus offers. And the third practice that you all have been engaging in as a way to grow in who you are becoming is serving the poor. I want to say thank you for starting Laundry Love. I don't know if you all know this, but I go to Laundry Love whenever I'm available. Not because I'm Allison's spouse, right? Not because I'm a pastor down the street, but because Laundry Love is a way for me to be a disciple of Jesus in this world. I'm going to share with you some words from the first Laundry Love experience. We got done with Laundry Love. We got home and Allison started to do bedtime with the girls. And I was so inspired by the night that I just started writing this down. I was on my phone. That's why I did this, by the way. If you're like, wow, Robert writes with his thumbs. How weird. I'm a millennial. I write with my thumbs on my phone. So I started to type this on my phone, and I believe, honestly, that these aren't really my words, but I believe that they're words from the Holy Spirit. I think I was so inspired by my experience. This was our first Laundry Love, and I wrote these words. I said, tonight we had church in a laundromat. It's called Laundry Love, and the people of Calvary Episcopal Church hosted the gathering. I got to hand out the pizza, and I was afraid there wouldn't be enough, because I'm always stuck in scarcity. But there was more than enough. The kids got to have seconds and thirds. And the good thing about handing out the pizza is when you give out the pizza, you get everybody's name. At the end of the night, we went and prayed with people who requested prayer. I don't pray with people who don't want to pray with me. It was holy. They shared their life. They shared their struggles. They shared the grace. They asked their kids to join us. One woman said, I want my kids to learn how to pray every day. Me too. The highlight of the night was working with Becky. She's a tough one, and she runs the joint. She knows everybody by name. We connected because we both love Jesus, but we also curse a little bit, maybe even a lot. I can't wait to be there next month. I needed some light in the darkness of this week. God is there in that laundromat. God is with families who carry unspeakable pain. God is with Becky when she curses too much. God is with us. Tell the truth. Love all. Serve the poor. These are practices which bring us closer to the heart of Jesus, which is to say, brings us closer to the heart of God. And when you draw really close to God, God draws really close to you. It's a lot easier to listen when you're that close together. So let us keep moving forward in ministry. Thanks be to God. Amen.